It's really kind of hard not to be just awestruck by the sheer size of the infrastructure projects that China's been undertaking. You see these photos, you see these videos of these massive bridges that seem to just go on forever, and then high-speed rail lines that connect these just sprawling urban centers, and then whole new districts popping up seemingly out of nowhere. And makes you wonder, what's the engine that's driving all this? But today we're going to look at some of the maybe less publicized aspects of this and some of the potential hidden problems that are kind of lurking underneath all that really impressive construction.
Yeah, and what we have for you today is a deep dive into the potential realities behind all this. We're drawing from a particularly insightful source. We have some excerpts from an interview with Zheng Gang. He is a former construction industry professional. He worked in China for 3 decades in a really comprehensive range of roles. He's done everything from the initial planning phases of these massive projects all the way through to like the nuts and bolts of actually managing these projects on the ground. And he's actually come to the US recently and has been sharing his firsthand account of some of the challenges that he's seen. Specifically, he's talking about corruption and the impact that that has on the quality of the work being done.
So we're not just talking about just like a few isolated incidents or just a handful of anecdotes, right?
No, not at all. What Zheng Gang's experiences point to is something much more systemic.
Interesting. And for everyone listening to this today, our mission in this deep dive is to really move beyond just the impressive headlines and the flashy visuals and understand the underlying issues that can contribute to this corruption. And perhaps more importantly, what tangible effects this has on the quality and safety of these massive projects. We want to get a sense of the lived experiences of someone who's been there and done that and the potential consequences of what he's observed. So let's start unpacking Zheng Gang's initial experiences in China. It sounds like corruption was a pretty immediate factor in his work.
Oh, it was. He talks about one project from 2017 that really illustrates this. It was a 28-kilometer rural second-class highway project in Ruijin County, which is part of Chenzhou in Hunan province. Now, I know that a second-class highway in a rural area doesn't exactly sound like a project that would be rife with problems, but Zheng Gang's account of this project is really eye-opening. It reveals a pretty disturbing level of corruption that was at play even on a project like this.
He uses a very blunt phrase to describe it. He says, "Eat, take, and demand." It paints a pretty bleak picture of almost relentless extraction. Can you elaborate on what he went through?
Yeah. He describes this multi-layered system of demands from officials at the provincial level all the way down to local village leaders. It seems everyone along the way expected kickbacks, or hubao, as he calls them. And they expected these payments simply to allow the project to move forward. It wasn't like just a small, isolated request. This was just a pervasive expectation at every level of authority involved in these projects.
So if all these different levels of officials are taking a cut, what impact does that have on the actual construction itself? It just seems like there'd be less and less money available for the actual, road building.
That's exactly the point. When significant portions of the budget are siphoned off through these kickbacks, the amount of money that's left for actually building the road is inevitably reduced. And this reduction creates immense pressure to cut corners, to maybe use cheaper materials and often substandard materials at that, and then also to compromise on crucial aspects of the design and the build. And so this corruption has a very real and tangible negative impact on the quality and the safety of the final infrastructure that gets built. The key insight here is that this systemic corruption essentially acts as a drain on the resources of the project. And this in turn forces compromises in the quality of the work and really jeopardizes public safety.
And the example that Zheng Gang gives about this rural highway project really takes a tragic turn, and it highlights just how dangerous these compromises can be. He talks about the initial plan for the drainage system along this highway, what was actually supposed to be put in place.
Well, the initial design called for 2 large concrete drainage pipes that would run alongside the road. Each of these pipes was designed to be 2 meters in diameter, and this system was supposed to provide enough capacity to handle potential flash floods that occur somewhat frequently in this region. It seemed like a pretty reasonable and necessary precaution for any roadway that's being built in an area like that.
It does. But then when the construction actually took place, the drainage system ended up being drastically different than what was originally planned. What went wrong?
Well, due to this intense pressure to cut costs, which was a direct consequence of these layers of corruption that we've been talking about, the construction unit ultimately made a really fateful decision. Instead of installing those 2 large 2-meter diameter pipes, they decided to opt for 4 much smaller pipes, each only 60 centimeters in diameter. And it might seem like a pretty minor change if you're just reading it on paper, but the reduction in drainage capacity was massive.
And tragically, this decision had immediate and devastating consequences.
Yeah.
You mentioned flash floods. What happened?
Exactly. When a flash flood hit the area, those smaller pipes simply couldn't handle the volume of water that was coming through. And so the road ended up with something like 2 meters of water accumulating on the surface. Now, local residents who were familiar with this area probably understood the danger and stayed away. But sadly, two individuals who were from out of town drove into this flooded section of the highway, and it seems like they misjudged the depth of the water. Their vehicle was swept away, and they both tragically drowned. It's just a really stark and heartbreaking example of how this drive for profit through corruption can so directly lead to the loss of human life.
That is absolutely horrifying. And it sounds like the aftermath of this incident was equally disturbing in terms of how it was handled by the authorities.
Yeah. Yeah. Zhenggang describes a really swift and systematic cover-up. The construction unit immediately issued a gag order instructing all of the local government officials and the departments that were related to the project to maintain a very low profile and to actively discourage any disclosure of information about what had happened. It was a very clear attempt to suppress the truth and to avoid any kind of accountability for the failures that had occurred.
And then you have the sheer financial aspect of this project. You mentioned the initial budget and then the final settlement. And the difference between those two figures is just staggering.
Yeah, it really is. So the initial budget that was allocated for this 28-kilometer highway was 120 million RMB. But the final settlement amount reached an incredible 270 million RMB. That's more than double the original budget. And this massive discrepancy just really underscores the sheer scale of misappropriation of funds that was likely occurring throughout the entire project. And this raises a really important question. If the project ended up costing more than twice the original budget, where did all that extra money go? Especially considering the fact that the quality of the final product was so severely compromised.
Yeah, it really suggests that this wasn't just corruption that was hindering the project. It was actually being used to actively inflate the costs for personal gain. And Zhenggang is very clear in the interview that this wasn't just a one-off situation, right?
Oh, absolutely. He makes it very clear that this kind of corruption and the resulting quality problems that stem from it are not just isolated incidents. They're long-standing and very deeply entrenched issues within China's construction industry. His experience on this particular rural highway, while tragic, is sadly representative of a much wider problem that he observed throughout his time working on these projects.
He even talks about how his team would actually try to maintain quality and how those efforts were constantly being undermined by this pervasive corruption. It must have been incredibly frustrating to try and do good work in an environment like that.
Yeah, he describes a situation where they would constantly try to adhere to quality standards, but their attempts were continuously hampered by this drain on resources that corruption caused. Eventually, the remaining budget after all the kickbacks and everything else was so depleted that they could only afford the absolute bare minimum of construction materials and methods. It's a system where the drive for profit through corruption just actively outweighs any concern for safety and quality. It's a really bleak picture that he paints.
And it wasn't just limited to one phase of the construction process either, right?
No, not at all. According to Zhenggang's account, this corruption permeated every single stage of a typical construction project. So this includes the initial project application, the process of getting approval, the supervision of the work as it was actually being done, the construction itself, and even the final acceptance of the finished project. It was a systemic issue that was woven into the very fabric of how the industry operated. To further illustrate the systemic nature, the article that you sent over brings up some disturbing case studies of significant infrastructure failures in China. For example, there's the 2009 collapse of the Zhuzhou-Hongqi Road overpass in Hunan province. What makes this one particularly striking is that this wasn't a newly built structure that failed under load or anything like that. This was an overpass that was actually in the process of being dismantled when it collapsed.
That makes it even more shocking in a way. I mean, you wouldn't necessarily expect a structure that's being taken apart to just suddenly collapse. And the consequences in this case were pretty devastating, right?
Yeah, they were. At least 24 people were either killed or injured in the collapse, and 27 vehicles were damaged. And the investigation that followed found a very clear and direct link to some pretty serious quality fraud. In a really blatant effort to cut costs, the contractors responsible for the demolition had used substandard steel bars that didn't meet the required strength specifications. And they had also been mixing in inferior materials to save money. And, you know, just like we were talking about with Zhenggang's experiences, The underlying cause of all of this was corruption that led to a complete breakdown of any kind of quality control measures. The big takeaway here is that this sort of drastic reduction in subcontracting budgets, which was fueled by corruption, just makes it virtually impossible to maintain any kind of quality or safety standards. And in this case, it led to a large-scale failure with really tragic consequences.
The details about the subcontracting of this overpass are just unbelievable. This was a project that was originally valued at over 100 million RMB, and then somehow was eventually subcontracted down to this private contractor who was given a budget of just over 1 million RMB. How can you possibly ensure a safe and controlled demolition when the budget has been slashed that drastically? It just seems like an invitation for disaster.
It absolutely is. I mean, with such a minuscule budget compared to what the project was originally valued at, corners were inevitably going to be cut. And as a result, tons of concrete ended up just falling onto unsuspecting drivers and pedestrians below. The fact that over 10 people died in the single incident really shows the catastrophic human cost of this kind of corruption and negligence. And going back to Zhang Gang's perspective, he says that even though this incident sent shockwaves through the industry, the official response seemed to be aimed at minimizing the issue. There wasn't any comprehensive government reporting, and in the end, a single individual was scapegoated, and that was basically the end of it.
It's a pattern that we've seen repeated again and again, unfortunately. The article also talks about another case, the 2012 collapse of the Harbin Yangmingtan Bridge, which was a major bridge in that city. What happened there?
This one was especially alarming because the bridge collapsed less than 9 months after it had opened to traffic. I mean, this was a major piece of urban infrastructure. And the fact that it failed so soon after it was built suggests that there were some very fundamental flaws in either the construction or the design of the bridge. And the investigation that followed confirmed that there were significant engineering quality issues. They also found negligence in some critical safety inspections that should have been done. Now, the article doesn't explicitly link this collapse to specific instances of corruption in the same way that it did with the overpass case. But given what Zheng Gang was talking about, this kind of pressure to meet deadlines and to cut corners, which is often fueled by this systemic corruption that he talks about, it seems very likely that those factors played a role in this collapse as well.
And then, of course, there's the tragic legacy of those so-called tofu drag projects that were exposed after the Wenchuan earthquake. That event really brought this issue of construction quality to the forefront in a very, very visceral way.
It did. The fact that so many schools collapsed during the earthquake and that so many children died as a result, it just showed in the most horrible way imaginable the deadly consequences of compromised construction quality. This wasn't just about financial losses, it was about innocent lives being lost. And it really serves as a stark and heartbreaking reminder that we're not just talking about abstract issues of corruption here. These are issues that have profound and irreversible human consequences.
So when you look at everything we've talked about so far, Zheng Gang's personal experiences, these terrible examples of infrastructure failures,
yeah,
it seems clear that this isn't just about a few isolated cases of, you know, bad actors within the system.
Yeah.
What does Zheng Gang himself identify as the fundamental underlying causes of these really systemic problems in China's construction industry?
He points to some really deep-rooted institutional and regulatory failures. He basically says that the government regulations and the supervisory bodies that are supposed to be in place to prevent this kind of corruption and to ensure some kind of quality control, they're just completely ineffective. They're not doing their job. And he actually goes so far as to say that corruption has become so widespread and so deeply ingrained in this industry that it's almost become an unspoken rule. It's just how things are done.
And he takes it even further. He suggests that there's a really problematic dynamic between the regulators, the people who are supposed to be overseeing the construction industry, and the construction companies themselves. What exactly does he mean by that?
He's suggesting that in many cases, very close and often informal relationships develop between the government departments that are responsible for regulating the industry and the construction companies themselves. And these relationships can eventually evolve into what he calls vested interests. And what this means is that the regulators may be very hesitant to enforce the rules very strictly or to actually investigate corruption because they themselves may benefit either directly or indirectly from this system of corruption. So they're not really incentivized to rock the boat. And this effectively makes any kind of meaningful independent oversight completely ineffective. If the entities that are supposed to be policing the industry are actually complicit in the corruption, then there's really no incentive for the construction companies to change their behavior. The drive to cut corners and engage in corrupt practices remains completely unchecked.
It's a pretty troubling picture that he paints. There's this fundamental lack of accountability that runs very deep. And what about the international implications of all this? The article touches on China's Belt and Road Initiative. What are the concerns there?
The main concern that's raised is that the same corrupt practices and the same acceptance of substandard quality that are so prevalent in China's domestic construction industry are now being exported to other countries through this massive Belt and Road Initiative. I mean, this is a global undertaking involving a huge number of infrastructure projects in countries all over the world. And the worry is that the same patterns of corruption and the same compromises on quality are now being replicated on an international scale.
Jin Gang even shares some anecdotes from his colleagues and friends who have actually worked on some of these Belt and Road projects. What were their experiences like?
Their accounts seem to mirror what Zheng Gang himself witnessed in China. They talk about encountering very similar fraudulent practices. They talk about the use of substandard materials to reduce costs. And they describe the same pervasive patterns of corruption influencing how these projects are being developed and executed. But now it's happening in all these new international contexts.
And it sounds like the corruption doesn't just flow from China outwards either. He talks about the impact that this is having on local officials in the countries where these Belt and Road projects are taking place.
Yeah, he makes a pretty alarming observation about this. He talks about how quickly local government officials in some of these countries can get entangled in these webs of corruption. And it's often through bribery or through the offering of gifts by the Chinese companies that are involved in these projects. He actually says that this can happen remarkably quickly, sometimes within just 6 months of a project being initiated.
That's a very serious claim. So what's Zheng Gang's overall assessment of the Belt and Road Initiative?
His view is pretty stark and troubling. He basically says that the Belt and Road Initiative is a process of spreading corruption, and that it's exporting what he calls a wicked set of values related to how these infrastructure projects are being conceived and executed. It raises some very serious questions about the ethical practices that are involved, about the accountability of the companies and the governments that are involved, and ultimately about the long-term sustainability and the quality of these projects.
So as we're wrapping up this deep dive, what would you say is the most critical takeaway for our listeners today? I mean, based on Zheng Gang's firsthand account and on these really disturbing examples of infrastructure failures that we've talked about, the deeply embedded nature of corruption within China's infrastructure sector seems undeniable at this point.
Absolutely. And it's really important to remember that this isn't just about some financial irregularities. This corruption has very real consequences for the quality of these projects, and even more importantly, for the safety of the people who are using them. The lack of effective oversight, the deeply entrenched nature of these corrupt practices, those are the core issues that Zheng Gang's account has really highlighted for us today.
And then you layer on top of that this potential for these practices to extend beyond China's borders through these massive initiatives like the Belt and Road. It's a really concerning prospect. It has huge implications for infrastructure development and for how these projects are governed all over the world.
And so that brings us to a final thought for you to consider as our listener today. Given the absolutely immense scale of infrastructure development that's happening globally right now, not just in China, what mechanisms and what safeguards do we need to put in place to ensure that there's real accountability and to effectively prevent these same kinds of issues from taking root in other parts of the world? What does all of this tell us about the importance of transparency and ethical practices and independent oversight in all large-scale projects, no matter where they're happening?